and the different things that happened from the time that it says Noah walked with God up to when Noah began to be a farmer after the flood, you will find that you can cut it in half and the one half reflects the other. It's a mirror image. The important thing about this chiasm is that the way that it's set up, you can see what the center or focal point is. Because in the middle of that chiasm is Genesis 8 verse 1, which says that God remembered Noah and every living thing with him on the ark. And so that is the focus, that is the center point of the whole flood account. The most important thing, if you don't think of anything else, this is what to take note of, is that God remembered Noah and every living thing with him on the ark. Remember that to remember in the Bible does not mean that you forgot. God didn't forget Noah and the ark and all the living creatures inside the ark. No, it means that God chose to fill his mind with thoughts of Noah and all the living things inside the ark with him. The flood started with Noah, it ended with Noah, and the center point is God filling his mind with thoughts of Noah. For God, Noah was the most important element of the whole story. It is all about the redemption or salvation of Noah and the rest of creation, the animals who were with him. Just as a side note, a point of interest, Paul often used chiasms in his epistles. In fact, we would understand his epistles far better if we analyzed his chiasms when we studied his letters. We can also see this principle of the first being last and the last being first throughout Scripture in places other than hidden in the literary techniques. For example, Cain was first and Abel last, but Abel became first and Cain came in last. Ishmael was first and Isaac last, but Isaac came first and Ishmael ended up last. Now, another Hebrew literary technique that we are going to examine today is framing. We have looked at framing briefly in part 12 of the study. I'm going to quote from part 12 just to refresh your memory. We find very interesting patterns in the Bible. Those patterns are hidden in people's lives. They are hidden in the stories. They are even hidden in the wording of the text. These patterns illustrate and echo the themes in the Bible. One theme is that the end will be like the beginning. Things will end up like they started, except they will be vastly improved. In the beginning of the Bible, we read about the creation of the whole universe, and at the end of the Bible, we read of the recreation of the whole universe. So it ends up like it all started, only better. We often see the same pattern hidden throughout the Bible, where the first line of a block of text is the same or extremely similar to the last line. This is called framing and is a typical Hebrew literary technique. The first and the last lines are then like a picture frame, and whatever is in between is the picture inside the picture frame. Whatever is outside of the frame may belong in a bigger or a different picture frame, but it does not belong in that specific picture. When God established his covenant with Noah, we find a beautiful example of framing. You can see it on page 5 of your notes. The covenant is the picture inside the frame. As you read the covenant, notice again that this was a covenant that God established with Noah and his descendants. He gave it to them. To every human being that would ever live on this earth after the flood. Why? Because Noah became the father of all mankind. Now, if you look at page 5 of your notes, you will see that verse 8, 9, and 10 are the top part or the start of the frame. And verse 16 and 17 are the end parts of the frame. I've highlighted what is similar in the top and what's similar at the bottom. It starts off with God saying, and it ends up with God saying to Noah. And in both the top section and the bottom section, there is the same word that means see. In the beginning, in verse 9, it says, I establish my covenant. And then in verse 17, it says, the covenant which I have established. It was now final. In verse 9, it specifies who the covenant is with Noah and his descendants, and with every living creature that came out of the ark. And verse 17 as well as verse 16 both echo the same thing. It is between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. And so we see there's the top of the frame and the bottom of the frame. So that means whatever is in between from verse 11 to verse 15 is the actual covenant. And this is what he said, thus I establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant which I make. And that word make means give, not cut. Give. Between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. It shall be, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember, I'll fill my mind with my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. The waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. That is the covenant that God made with Noah, and not only with Noah, but also all the animals, all of creation. He will never again destroy the earth with a flood. It is completely one-sided. There is nothing that mankind has to do in these terms and conditions. It is all on God. God's promising, I will never again destroy the earth with water. Another Hebrew literary technique, which we have seen before quite a few times, is repetition of words. If you look on page 6 of the notes, you will see that I've highlighted the word covenant and the word earth, because those two words appear 7 times in this covenant. 7. Remember, 7 means completion. Nothing can be added to it. This is a covenant between God and the whole earth. This covenant will bring the earth into the seventh day, which is the day of rest. At the end of it all, the earth will find rest. Notice again, as we have discussed before, that God gave the rainbow as the sign, the seal, the covenant token, the reminder of this covenant. The rainbow reminds us that God will never again destroy this earth with water. And so that is it for today. Thank you so much for being here. And until next time, bye for now.